Welcome to the New Swingers Podcast, the only podcast in the world specifically created for and focused on couples who are new to or curious about the swinger lifestyle. It is for audiences of those age 18 years and older. And though we give our opinions, we are not therapists or mental health professionals, and our opinions are simply our own. So here's the deal. Lots of couples new to the swinger lifestyle have a lot of questions, and they're often nervous or feel insecure. Our mission is to help you answer all of those questions so you can explore the swinger lifestyle comfortably at your own pace and make your sex life sizzle. Our voices have been changed to protect our identities, and any email questions of yours that we read will be addressed anonymously to protect your identity as well. And a lot of you ask about wanting to see what June looks like because she sounds so hot. Well, she is hot, and here's how you can see what she looks like. This hot, sexy, gorgeous, former church preschool teacher turned hot swinger wife. Just click the first link in the show notes to check out June's OnlyFans page. You'll get unlimited access to hot, daily, uncensored glimpses of her and her gorgeous 32 double D pierced nipples. She gets pretty crazy on there. Just click the first link in the show notes. Welcome back to the New Swingers Podcast. I'm John.
And I am June.
And you just had a shiver.
I did. It went all the way down.
I give you chills.
They're multiplying.
Okay, it was in control.
Yeah, I think I like it.
All right. Today we have your new swingers Q&A. We got some emails with some very relevant questions that a lot of you probably deal with because you're either in a family, maybe you have kids, or you grew up religious. We're not, this isn't a total religious episode, but one of the questions does touch on a religious upbringing here in North America. And so that's often a point of tension or friction or not knowing what to think or do when it comes to that clashing with the lifestyle and what you were taught to believe. So we have some of those questions as well. Mm-hmm. So be sure to listen to the end. And by the way, if you haven't done so already, scroll right down and click that little 5-star review. If you like this podcast, take the next 2 seconds, scroll down, hit the 5-star review button if that's helpful, or however many stars you think we deserve. We're not telling you what to do. And leave us a review. And the reason, you know, this takes like 10 seconds to do for like click the stars, leave a review. It's very easy, very fast. It helps us reach more people.
Yeah.
And it tells other people like you that there's others like them listening to this and getting value out of it so they can be helped as well. So go click those 5 stars right now. We sure would appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we've had people asking us about the Vodka Helps t-shirt. We actually now have a link in the show notes, and we were able to set up a drop shipping deal where we can get you all kinds of Vodka Helps swag, including a t-shirt.
Yes.
So again, we mentioned that on like a couple of the episodes, and we started getting emails coming in going, hey, if you have those, we'll buy them.
Yeah.
So if you have any other swinger swag ideas you want us to create, let us know, and we'll consider it and look at it.
I thought I had one the other day, and now I can't remember what it was. It was like vodka.
Vodka makes me brave.
Oh, that's what it was. Vodka makes me brave.
Well,
I like that.
Yeah, when we go to the club or a party and you're kind of nervous, you just have some vodka and suddenly you're just brave more and you're like, let's do this.
Or I get on the stage of the club and I'm dancing with other girls up there on the stage and I would have never ever done that.
Wearing basically nothing.
Yeah, bra and panties, and that was it.
Yep, and it was hot.
With heels. Big black wedge heels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So today we have some questions. We're going to get straight to it here. This first one says, hey, y'all, my wife and I are new to the lifestyle, and we do have some questions that we think y'all might be able to address to some extent. It sounds like these people are from the South as yeah. well, somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're from, so we're not saying because we don't know.
Yep.
So do you want to read this first question?
Yeah. One of the questions I have is about your mental headspace when it comes to the subject of religion. My family was not over religious to where I felt forced, but I would consider myself a Christian and struggle with my beliefs that I have known to be true for most of my life and how that interacts with my lifestyle choice. Is this something that you struggled with in the past or currently struggle with? What is your opinion on the subject, and how would you suggest that I get past it?
What are your thoughts on that first? I have a few thoughts written down.
I would say me personally, I still struggle with it a little bit. It's still there. Like I'll play with a girl and then afterwards I'm like, I feel shame. You know, like, what are you doing? That's not, you know, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, not all the time.
No, but like, it still tries to trickle in, though.
Because you've told me, like, you know, while you're doing it, and immediately after, you're like, yeah, there's just no shame. And there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what you're referring to is, like, we all get the voices in our heads.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, when you least expect it, they creep up on you. And
for me, it's usually the next day.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not a total deal breaker, it doesn't ever seem. It just seems to be like a minor thing that kind of echoes, at least as far as I can tell. Would that be true? Talk about that.
Yeah, it's more of just like, well, kind of like I said, just like, what are you doing? Like, you're only supposed to be with John and nobody else. And why are you playing with a girl now? Like, what's wrong with you? Which nothing is wrong with me. But the way I grew up so overly religious, I think even more than John, yes. I've really had a lot more to deal with that mentally than he has.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that was one big point of tension a couple of big fights ago that we had that you were trying to get past, and we couldn't figure out what the hell it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to do with religion.
Yeah.
And, you know, only being with your spouse sexually. You know, growing up in a church environment, you're taught you're only supposed to be with your spouse.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking, and I was like, well, we were together last night when we were playing with that other couple or at that lady. Like, we were together, and we both enjoyed it. We were in agreement. Everybody was consenting. Like, we were with each other. And so you gotta kind of ask, like, you know, like, what does that mean with you? Like, because I don't think our sex life is anybody's business but ours.
Yeah.
Especially if growing up super religious, you know, nobody ever talked to us about sex, because nobody ever talked to either of us.
No.
About sex. All we were told is it's fucking wrong. Don't do it. It's evil. Which clearly that is not the case. So now my whole question is, you know, what would someone have the audacity to try to, like, come back into our life, a parent or guardian, and say, hey, we don't like what we found out you're doing sexually. It's like, oh, well, where the fuck were you when I was 12?
Yeah.
And I needed guidance. And we didn't know anything about sex,
no.
How it's done, STDs, pregnancies, all this stuff that we should have been taught.
Mm-hmm. Well, with me, and I'll just share just briefly, but with me, I was raped and molested when I was four years old, about 6 or 7. And so I was like, I don't want to have sex. Like, that hurt me. So all growing up until maybe high school, I didn't even want to, you know, think about that. And so, you know, growing up, I was kind of happy that nobody did talk to me about it, because I would have been like, no, that doesn't sound good at all.
Or somebody could have explained to you what was done to you was wrong. That's not the way it's intended.
Yeah, which, you know, didn't happen either. So,
well, because nobody talked about anything.
Mm-mm.
And so, I mean, I know, you know, we'll get to that other question relevant to that. But, you know, I'll say this. The biggest thing is you need to come to your own conclusions with this where you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the past, when I was younger, yeah, I actually did go to Bible college. And so I'm no Bible scholar, but I'm no newbie to what the Bible says about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've studied it. I've been taught all the arguments and the rebuttals and, you know, the theology, the apologetics, which is basically all the pre-canned answers they give you to debate people who have logical arguments and intelligent ones against some of these types of issues. Mm-hmm. When you're raised in a Christian home.
Yeah.
Like, I know all those. Like, I was trained in them to use them. But also, some of those arguments don't have a lot of more depth beyond the initial surface level sometimes.
Yeah.
And my take on it is this. We're humans and we were made for sex.
Yeah.
And religion told us what they want us to believe about God based on their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this stuff that we were raised on was written thousands of years ago by people we didn't know in a whole completely different culture that isn't even, in so many ways, close to this one.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the when you get to the translations of what a lot of these things say, a lot of things that are taught in the Bible nowadays, it doesn't actually, the original things that were actually written in the original language and what they meant, the connotations, the context, they don't mean anything like what we're taught those things mean in an American church in this day and age. But things are so, like, so many things are misconstrued and taught different, where, like, I've heard preachers in big churches preach sermons on topics, and I wonder to myself, did that fucking guy even go to Bible college? Like, has he even studied? Like, that's not even what that story means.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they're teaching it with a certain message and agenda, and this is how you're supposed to live. And people are just, like, saying amen and all this, and they're agreeing, but they haven't read it for themselves.
Yeah.
Which is why they don't know any better, that this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. One of the biggest challenges people face when they're new to the swinger lifestyle is finding other like-minded people to connect with and get to know. Because most people don't want others to know they're in the lifestyle. So how can you actually find these people? It's very simple, actually. Just go download our free 2-page guide called Swing Easy. It's a free 2-page PDF document where we show you 3 of the fastest and easiest places you can start meeting other couples just like you in the next 24 hours or less, guaranteed. Just click the link in the show notes that says free Swing Easy PDF so you can start connecting with other like-minded couples and making new, fulfilling friendships and connections in the next 24 hours or less. Go click the link and grab it right now before the offer expires.
Well, and I have a question for all those people. You ready for my question? There are so many people in the Bible you read about that's had, like, that they have had orgies, that they've had multiple husbands, had multiple wives.
Prostitute. Oh, like, here. You want me to quote it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, okay, so if there was a problem with the swinger lifestyle from a religious, like, by religious, I mean North American Christian perspective in the 21st century. That's what we mean by religion, because that's what the question is coming from, and that's also our background. Do you remember a guy named King David? He was called a man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
He killed Goliath, became king of Israel. He's literally hailed as a biblical hero, a king that is a man after God's own heart. He had multiple wives and many, many, many what are called concubines, which is just an old term for prostitutes.
Yeah.
That he enjoyed. Then his son Solomon, who is known as one of the wisest kings, wisest men to ever live, and one of the richest, he also had multiple wives, and he also had many, many concubines, prostitutes. You can go in the Bible and literally read this stuff.
Yeah.
And my question is, these people are, they're hailed as biblical heroes. And my whole question is, well, if it was okay for them back in that day and age when it was written, why is it suddenly wrong for us? Like those two guys, and I'm not trying to justify or make things right. I'm just analyzing it, going,
same here.
They were just two guys.
Mm-hmm.
They were just two people like you and I, June, and mm-hmm. like all of you listening. They were just two people. They just lived, several centuries ago.
Yeah.
And so what does that make it? My question is, what does it justify it now? Because, well, that was a different culture. And it's like they were human. And on top of that, let me ask you this. If we have these desires as human beings to be with multiple people sexually, a lot of people say, well, we don't all have that. Well, if you're not very exploratory, I think that's true. I think we probably, if you're a man, most men probably at some point have had a threesome fantasy, maybe two women. I know women have their fantasies of their own. You look at books and TV and how much of the categories that fucking sell out, you can't tell me people aren't into kinky shit.
Oh, yeah.
50 Shades of Grey. Oh, the religious world slammed it. Other people slammed it. At the time it came out, it was like one of the best-selling books in the world. And the movies did even better. It did the same.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And
it's like, nobody's into this. What a horrible thing. And then we all go buy the fucking thing.
Well, not only that, but I remember telling John, I'm going to watch these because I want to have my own opinion about it.
Yeah.
And that was when we were still going, we were pretty still vanilla. Going to church.
And pretty
we were,
vanilla.
Yeah. Like, and I remember telling him, like, I want to watch him so that I can have my own personal opinion without the church trying to trickle in and
tell you what and tell you what you're supposed to think of it.
Oh yeah, because they're all like, it's porn. You're watching porn in a movie theater.
It's like, well, maybe you'd still be married if you weren't so boring sexually. And yeah, maybe you should have watched some of that shit. Maybe it would have been more exciting and your wife wouldn't have left you. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or your husband, who knows? But yeah, like people say they're against things, but then they close the door and they go do the thing. Like that's kind of human nature. It's like we've been it almost seems like we've been taught to divorce ourselves.
Yeah.
By culture, religion. And it's like, you know, religion has like centuries of practice of mind control and telling people what they should or shouldn't do and making them afraid to go against the agenda
mm-hmm.
of the religion. And when I look at it, it's just like I'm not obviously God or an authority, but as best as I can understand, I think you just have to come to your own conclusion about what's acceptable for the two of you,
yeah.
If you're a couple, mm-hmm. and that not everything sexual is wrong, as is so often and constantly hammered into us from the day we're born.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like if everything is wrong, like I said, nothing is wrong. Like, if everything is wrong, eventually you get to a point where you just got to throw your hands up and go, oh, what the fuck are we even doing?
Yeah.
You know, how is all this wrong? Oh, by the way, it feels good, so it's wrong. I mean, it doesn't mean everything that feels good isn't bad, but it doesn't mean it is. And
I remember I got so pissed because I was like, I'd had my first kiss with a girl. And we're still new. We're like, this is like our, I think, 3 months in. And I remember looking at John and I was so mad. I said, I had no conviction. Like, I had no conviction or felt bad at all for that kiss. Like, none.
Yeah, and you were mad because you were always taught, if you do that, there's going to be this horrible, mm-hmm. awful feeling come over you, and you're this, and you're that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were just like, wow, that was actually pretty nice. Period. There was nothing more to it.
Yeah. Now, there's other things I've tried, and that's kind of where the word will trickle in, you know, with doing the double dildo with girls, things like that, that I've kind of had to work through of like, hey, it's okay, you know, but that was just one example of like how that was so wrong of how I grew up. Oh, that you can't do that. But I did the kiss and I had no conviction. I didn't feel bad about it at all.
Well, we were there together, mm-hmm. both in agreement, and you were enjoying it and it was hot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our sex life together. Like, mm-hmm. that's not anyone's business.
Nope.
And here's the thing too. Like, we didn't make ourselves this way. We didn't give ourselves, like, people don't choose what their sexual desires are, their kinks, whatever. Like, we're built in, and I even remember hearing preached my whole life growing up about the difference between love and lust, and love is good, lust is bad. And I'm at the point in life where I'm like, you know, if we didn't have lust, we wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, lust is not always a bad thing. Like, if nobody wanted to fuck each other, nobody would exist.
Yeah.
You can care about someone and not want to fuck them.
Yeah.
Well, you might not want to have that if you're trying to, you know, perpetuate, you know, the entire species. You want them to be lustful for each other. And now, obviously, that can go good or bad sideways if people are not in agreement or you use it wrong or whatever. But, like, here's another thing, too. Again, going back to, we didn't make ourselves this way. You did not make yourself with the sexual desires you have.
Yeah.
Like, you were built the way you are. And people have a wide variety of very different things sexually. I mean, people are into all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. It can all be different. But if anyone's on the hook for our sexual desires, I would say it's the God who made us this way,
yeah.
with these specific sexual desires. Like, and I often use this example. You know, if there's a, let's say you got a Ford Mustang in the driveway, sports car, and that thing starts malfunctioning, it gets recalled. There's something wrong in it. Now you could say, parallel this to human beings and religion, they say, oh, there's something wrong in you. You're sinful. Okay, so, you know, the church religion has this idea that we're born guilty of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're guilty because you exist, like, period. Like, you didn't have a prayer. Well, think about the car. if a car was built in such a way where eventually it broke down or had an issue and got recalled, is that the car's fault? The car, I mean, because the car didn't create itself.
No.
That would be the manufacturer's fault.
Yeah.
That would be a manufacturer's defect. That would be on the creator of the object, that being a car, or in this case, us as human beings. I mean, if we're wrong for having the sexual desires we do and wanting to enjoy them, that just kind of, to me, sounds like a God who doesn't want to take responsibility for his own fuck-up.
Yeah.
If it even is a fuck-up. Mm-hmm. We've just been taught that it is. And that, for some reason, it's always on us.
Yeah.
But we didn't make us. The sports car didn't make itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a fuck-up in the thing, you know, a recall, a manufacturer's, you know, defect in the car, or something sinful in human beings' natural desires, like, I've never been able to reconcile how that could be our fault for being how we're created.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you don't misuse it or abuse it, or we don't have free will, and free will is a whole different topic.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I've never understood.
It's a good point, though.
If the car isn't on the hook, and, you know, Ford Motor Company would be, well, why would we be on the hook for a God who made us the way we are? And by the way, things in nature are like what they come from. They're like the place they originated. If we came from God, whatever you see that is, however you understand that, if we came from quote-unquote God and we have evil in us, I don't understand how God himself, who we came from, could not also have evil in him from which our own evil came, which came from him. Because if he's perfect love, how could he create something with evil if it's perfect love?
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, I'm getting kind of in the weeds there. But if we're wrong for having these desires, he put them here.
Yeah.
If he didn't want us having sex with each other, I don't understand why he would create sexual beings who want to have sex with each other.
Yeah.
And why they would be wrong for doing what they were created to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not that doing it with everybody, every way, anytime, consensual, non-consensual. Of course, there's things that we can mess up as humans and do wrong.
Yeah.
There's consequences in many ways for that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, if we are this way and we didn't make ourselves, I just don't understand why we would be guilty for being what we are.
Yeah.
I want to understand, but that's just something I've never been able to understand when it comes to religion and church.
Yeah.
So, next question. Boy, that was a long one. Number two. You want to read that?
Yep. Says, do either of you see a point in your future where you might stop swinging? Why do you think that might or might not happen?
Okay. So do you see us stopping?
I don't see us stopping, but there has been times when we've had really bad fights that I'm like, should we have even done this?
Yeah. Just working through issues or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's normal to probably question that if you're like having a fight about something, like we've had a few here and there, just, and mainly it's me getting unfucking all the mentally trashed religion that has been in my head. So I don't know, I guess, I don't know. Like I love the swinging lifestyle, but I think if it started to, I don't know, if it continued to, like, if it affected us so badly, then probably.
Like, if it started destroying our family or relationship in some way, then, you know, we would obviously go, well, way before that, we'd hit the brakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with June. Like, I enjoy it. Like, we enjoy experiencing it together. And so, I don't see us stopping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on where we live now or in the future, you know, how many people are around, it depends. But yeah, we enjoy it. Number three.
My next question is purely a personal question that I have for you. How old are your kids, and are you worried that they might one day find this podcast?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
Our kids are more or less teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the difference. I'm not really worried about it. And I'll tell you why.
No, like, either.
We talk to our kids about sex.
Yeah.
Which our parents did not. And most people in our religious upbringing, from our understanding, their parents didn't either.
Yeah.
So neither of our families ever talked to us about sex growing up. And it was, again, it was just that everything is wrong.
Yeah.
So, no, they'd never have the right to have the audacity to try to judge us for exploring sex and figuring it out all on our own. If they did find out about us, whether that be our family or someone else, because, again, our family didn't even talk to us. So who the fuck are they?
Yeah.
You know, to say, oh, well, I can't believe you're into that kind of thing. Like, yeah, well, where were you when I was 12 or 13? And, like, you just never talked to me about it. And just, you know, and now you're mad because we explored it and we found we liked this a certain way. Like, you never guided us to begin with. But now this isn't about parents, though. Again, I was on a tangent. This is about kids.
I would say I'm not worried about it because I don't wear what I'm going to wear to the club. I don't wear that out. We just tell our kids that we're going out on a date and they don't really ask any questions. And because they're teenagers, they're on their fucking phone the whole time that we're gone. On the weekends we let them, them have the phone.
Here's the question though. Like what if your kids found out? Like, and for me, it's kind of like, it would be like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Because we talk to them about sex. We teach them like, hey, not everyone likes the same things you do. And not everyone's the same way you are. But even if you disagree with how someone is sexually, it's still our job to be loving and kind to those people and to befriend them if we can, even if we're different. And even if we don't agree with what they're doing or sexually how they are.
I mean, we even brought that up last night in the movie we were watching. We were watching The Wedding Singer.
And oh, yeah.
There's the guy who...
The guy on stage, he looks like a lady. He's got the long hair and he gets booed off stage.
And our kids are like,
he only knew one song, and so he's Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler went outside because he was helping this, 12-year-old kid, puke in the dumpster because someone gave him alcohol, and so the guy, he didn't have any other song he knew, so he started singing again. But he looks kind of like a Boy George, kind of like you can tell it's a dude, but he's dressed up like a chick.
Yeah.
So our kids were both like, "Is that a guy?" And it's like, "Yeah." I said, but if you ever see someone like that, you can still be nice and be their friend. You don't have to like be like them if that's not your thing.
Yeah. So we're always trying to find ways to encourage them with things like that. So I think would there be an initial shock? Well, hell yeah, there would be an initial shock to it. But I'm not worried about it because we do talk to them consistently about things that I don't think they'd be shocked probably, but it would be no big deal.
Every 2 or 3 years since they were probably 6 or 7 years old, we've had conversations with them about sex that are appropriate for the age range they were at. And so sex is no new concept to them.
Yeah.
We want it to be as normal of a topic in our house where it's no big deal, because a lot of times, it's kind of like guns or any other taboo thing for some people. No one talks about it. No one trains it, like with guns, you don't train your kid on gun safety. That's where you're likely to have an accident with a gun, because the kid was so curious and you never taught the kid how to handle it.
Yeah.
Well, with sex, kids are eventually going to grow into teenagers and adults, and they're going to develop and have their own things they like. Well, we might as well let them know that, hey, it's okay to be what you are. And some people are into different things. And so if they ever did find this podcast, I just kind of be like, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Everyone's into different things. And, we're helping them understand sex in its entirety and shape their worldview on it. And for the most part, I agree that in a lot of ways, the worldview we were raised with is a good one in general. There's a lot of benefits to that.
There are.
But the thing is, it's so exclusive that it cuts out and ignores other sides to us that we have sexually as human beings.
Yeah.
And it won't go there and address it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just vilify it. But that doesn't take away the desires we have. It doesn't help. It just goes, you're not welcome here. You better not fucking say any of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't talk to us.
Yeah.
And so you go somewhere else instead of a church or church friends. And, that's where you have, I think, places like the Swinger Lifestyle that originated somehow, because people were finding that they didn't feel like they fit where they were, and there were other people just like them, and now it kind of is what it is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, have you found it difficult to get and keep an erection while at lifestyle events? If so, you're not alone, and it's common. The new environment and the distractions can contribute to a lack of an erection due to performance anxiety at the very moment you need it the most. I personally ran into this issue early on in the lifestyle, and it was super frustrating. But don't worry, there's a solution. If you use our link in the show notes and use the coupon code NEW, N-E-W, at checkout, you'll get $30 off your order of FDA-approved ED medication from Shameless Care so you can get hard and stay hard in the moments that matter most. Don't question your manhood or feel like less of a man ever again. Just click the link in the show notes right now to get $30 off before the promotion ends so you can get back in the game and blow your sex partner's mind. Click the link right now and simply use the coupon code NEW, N-E-W, at checkout.
This person says, I've only listened to the first episode just today, enjoyed it very much and made me laugh. Good. You both had some useful tips and very much appreciate creating this podcast. Well, thank you. Let's see. We have a couple more here. Okay. Do you want to read this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello. First, thank you for all the information. It's so helpful. Love, 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 love the podcast. You're both awesome. Well, thank you. I have a question. My husband and I have just started dipping our toes into the lifestyle. This was at my request. I'm the one with a higher sex drive and am the jump in head first type where he's more reserved.
Oh man, I love a woman with a good, strong sex drive because I'm the strong drive in our relationship.
So far, we've been to one swingers club and we both had so much fun. We can only go when we travel because our state doesn't have any clubs and is controlled.
By the church.
By the church.
They're in Utah. Yeah.
Anyway, when we went to the swingers club in Vegas, we didn't play with anyone else. We just played with each other and let some people watch, which we both seemed to like. My question is it possible to play with women only, at least at first, until my husband is more comfortable?
Okay, number one, yes, that's totally
yes.
possible. You just need to find, like, just a lady who wants to play with a couple, and they're out there.
Yep.
You have to look, but they're out there.
Well, in here, here's the next sentence. Everything I read says the quote-unquote unicorn is a very rare occurrence that everyone in the lifestyle is looking for.
Yes, indeed, a very rare and beautiful creature of great desire. And yeah, that's pretty much true.
Yeah. We are okay playing with other married people, but my husband is as straight as they come and really doesn't want other men joining at all. He's fine with them watching, but he doesn't want them touching anything or anyone he's playing with. So is it responsible for us to expect that we can find women that are willing to play without their husband being involved at all and being okay with us not playing with him at all?
Okay, well, here's what you need. You need either a unicorn or a hot wife scenario.
Yeah.
Because the unicorn thing, there is no other guy. It's just a lady, another lady. The hot wife thing is generally a guy who likes to watch his wife have sex with other people. He doesn't want to participate. He just likes to watch because that's his thing. So the hot wife scenario or the unicorn thing would be your answer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been, I don't really understand a little bit about what you just said. As far as he's concerned. And again, we're all different people. We're all at different, you know, places of comfort level. But you said that he wouldn't, basically from my understanding from the email is that her husband wouldn't even want another guy playing with the same woman he is, whether it's his wife or not.
That's, yeah, that's okay. The next sentence. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, is that,
uh-huh.
Did you read that yet?
No.
Okay. Must have been. Okay. Well, go ahead and read that first because I read the email already.
Yeah. It just says, at this point, I don't think my husband even would be willing to let me play with another woman if her husband was involved at all, even if he was only touching his own wife. Hopefully that made sense. I'm just trying to figure out if we're looking in the right place to fulfill our fantasies and desires. Thank you very much for any help for advice.
Okay, yeah. First of all, whatever you're into, whatever your boundaries are, it's okay to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So for the husband and for the wife here, it's okay to be where you're at.
Yeah.
What I was about to say was just me personally, like, I guess I don't understand his position entirely from my position in headspace, because we actually recently were in that exact scenario where we had, we were playing with another couple. It was just the four of us. And the lady was going down on you.
Uh-huh.
And the guy even looked at me, you know, so you were laying on the bed, the side of the bed. She was kneeling down on the side of the bed, going down on you. And, actually she was standing up. She was like bent over going down on you. And I remember her guy looked at me and said, "Hey, do you mind if I play with my own wife?" You know, in other words, he was doing her doggy style.
Yeah.
And I kind of laughed. I go, "Dude, she's your lady. Like, I'm like, you can do what you want with her. You don't have to ask me."
Yeah.
You know, but he was being very respectful, which I like.
Yeah.
Because I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was almost funny. Like, you're asking me if you can do stuff with your wife. But I understand because, I mean, like, this is a perfect example. It didn't bother me.
Yeah.
However, if this husband would have been there, clearly it would have bothered him.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'll tell you from my experience, I was laying there next to Jim, just kind of playing with her boobs and whatever, kissing her while the other lady's going down on her. And, you know, the other guy was just doing his lady doggy style while she was, you know, going down on June. That didn't bother me. I think the big fear for a lot of us guys is, like, we don't want another guy touching our lady.
Yeah.
Like, some of us are just like the other guys. They're like, you know, they love to see it. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't get anything out of the idea of any other guy doing anything with you.
Mm-hmm.
But in that case, in this particular case, he wasn't touching you at all. He only had his hands on and everything else on his own lady. She just happened to be going down on you.
Yeah.
So that didn't bother me because, you know, he wasn't touching you and you generally don't like other guys touching you. And so my only thing is, like, that some guy isn't doing something that we're not okay with.
Yeah.
But if, I mean, again, it's just a personal preference. I didn't have any issue with the guy, you know, doing his wife doggy style just because her mouth was going down on June. I didn't see that as him going in on my wife or doing anything because he wasn't. That's just my perspective. But, you know, the thing is, too, in the lifestyle, you try things out, you get around it. And we find that a lot of this evolves.
Yes.
You know, and like right now you might not be okay with that. And you, by the way, you never have to be okay with that. There's no end goal. You don't have to get somewhere, but you might realize that things that bother you right now in 2 or 3 months or however long, they just maybe won't bother you, be that big of a deal anymore. And so be open to that as well.
Absolutely.
So was that the last one? I think we had another one. Lifestyle question. I'll let you read since I'm doing a lot of talking too. Right there. Go for it.
Okay. I appreciate you taking the time to... Oh my gosh, I just heard myself. My accent. Tom. I appreciate you taking the time to teach and inform us of the lifestyle. I have recently came across your podcast and have been very interested in the lifestyle. I have approached my wife about my interest in investigating this further. To my surprise, she was not against it and was willing to check it out.
Gia!
Some background before my question. We are in our early 40s and have been married for almost 20 years and have children.
So pretty much the same life scenario as us.
As we're in, yeah.
More or less. We're a little younger.
I would say we don't have any big issues in our life, just normal things that come up. We have a very healthy sex life. With our careers, I am able to listen and try to learn more and then talking about it. She has said that she would like to go watch people having sex and see what that would be like first. Then maybe sometime... be up for trying to have sex with another female eventually, then possibly a threesome. I honestly think she is just as curious as I am, but I don't really know what steps to take. We have been to strip clubs before and watch porn together, so trying something else. So they're trying something else. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend? I'm not sure if the clubs will let you watch or if you would have to go to the hotel takeovers. We are not real young anymore, so kind of out of the loop, you could say. Again, thanks for your advice.
Yeah, first thing, at least the clubs we go to, they let you watch. One of the best rooms in there.
Oh yeah,
it has these big picture windows and this giant round bed. Mm-hmm. You can fit 40 or 50 people in the hallway around those big picture windows to watch.
Oh yeah,
and it's there's my windows. Room. There's windows in most of the rooms. You can close curtains if you want the privacy or doors, but clubs, we haven't been to a ton of them. But the one we go to, yeah, it's definitely you can watch.
Yeah,
and so if you're into that, like, I mean, a club is probably definitely the place. And the great thing is a lot of people, including June, are exhibitionists.
Yes.
They get off knowing that people are watching them fuck and do all kinds of stuff. Like, that's their kink.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice to you would be, with everything, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is keep taking small little baby steps together at your own pace. Don't do anything you're not both comfortable with. There is no finish line. You have to, like, ultimately try all these things and get to this finish line and have done it all. This whole thing, for us at least, is just whatever it is we feel like doing. If we have an interest, then maybe let's explore that. And if we don't, let's not.
Yeah.
There's no pressure to do anything we don't want to do.
Yeah.
But from the beginning, we said, let's just take baby steps.
Absolutely.
At our own pace, where we're both comfortable. And we haven't really had a problem as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
And if you get to the point where you want to do a female, male, female threesome, you're both comfortable with that. You found someone that you click and connect with well, and you're attracted to, and it's mutual. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
You know, maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you are. But yeah, I would just say just
maybe even starting out kind of like we did, mm-hmm. where, you know, I kissed the girl and then John kissed that same girl. And then the next week we, you know, parallel played. So you kind of gradually working your way towards that. So we parallel play, and parallel play is basically you're fucking your own person, but you're right beside another couple who's also fucking their own person. So I would say that could even be just gradually doing things like that. Maybe that would help you towards working towards the threesome or the female, male, female.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we didn't jump right into certain things. I mean, once we did one or two things, and a few of those first three or four nights at the club, we sort of slid into some things we didn't expect, but we rolled with it and we were both okay with it. But yeah, just do what you're comfortable with, and you can maybe step into things, dip your toe in at your own pace.
Absolutely.
We got another one here. Go ahead and read that one real quick. I think this is the one of the last ones. Go ahead and read that one.
Yeah, it says, thanks so much. I'm glad I found your podcast. I listened to the Don't Be a Weird Guy episode just before we went to Temptations for the first time, and it shed tons of light on how we saw people and couples interact with my wife and I. You mentioned the porn star tips for eating pussy. I'd love to get that info. Is there any way to get connected with him or share what you've learned?
Yeah. So, first of all, that episode he's referring to about guys, how not to be a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
I think that was like episode 2 or 3. Just scroll down. Everything's in numerical order in the podcast. It's literally the one that says, guys, don't be a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
It was about guys just, you know, not being able to handle being told no by ladies and acting like assholes or trying to touch people. Like, it's all about that. Basically things women hate and no guy wants to see another guy trying to do because he's just a little bitch who can't handle rejection. or just can't be nice to a lady who's just not interested for one of maybe 1,000 reasons. It might not even be him. It might be something she's going through. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's what that's about. Mm-hmm. So go check that out. They said they went to Temptations, which is a swinger lifestyle resort down somewhere in Mexico. We haven't been to one of these yet, but we'd like to go to one.
Yeah.
And all these things I was apparently saying that we were saying in the whole thing to guys and how not to be a fucking weirdo. He said it shed tons of light on how they saw people and couples interacting with him and his wife.
Wow.
Interesting. So people do need to hear that.
Wow.
I mean, I know it through our experience, but apparently there's a lot of people who just think, hey, it's a swinging resort. We can just like touch and finger and grope anybody. It's like,
No, you can't.
Yeah, like you don't just walk through fucking the grocery store and, well, we saw those people making out at the end of aisle three. Why couldn't I grab your tits? You know, it's like,
yeah.
In what world is it okay to just do something without someone's permission?
Never.
Yeah. Anyway, he said, you mentioned the porn star tits for eating pussy. Yeah. The guy's name, who's a porn star that I learned that from, his name is Eric Everhard. Eric Everhard. He's got a YouTube channel and he's got an online course. He's got coaching. I've done some of that. And the eating pussy thing, like, he explains it better than I can. But it's his thing. It's called the cross T technique, the cross T technique. So if you Google Eric Everhard cross T technique, I think it's also like in his free chapter download of his book. On one of those 8 or 9 pages, there's a section that says the cross T technique, and there's like a paragraph that says how to do it. And it's not that hard, but he talks about how to do it. And he also talks about different cues of body language to look for, things like that, to know if you're on the right path, you know, if you're doing it right. So I would just go, find that PDF download copy, which is, I think it's like a free giveaway on his website, but it's called the cross T technique. Hmm. His name is Eric Everhard.
Yeah.
So, he was in the, you know,
thank you, Eric.
Yeah. Shit. We were married over 16 years before I ever got that right. I know I've talked about it before, but for so long, I just didn't know how to get you there that way. And like, we actually believed you couldn't get there.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, we bought online courses and paid $150 for some of them. And you know what? He was just like, nah, man, just do this thing, and this thing. 1, 2, 3. And then don't stop, you know, until she gets there on the third thing. I'm like, okay, that's easy. And the first time we did it, like, I got you there in like 7 minutes.
Yes.
Which was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you doing?
Meat grazing.
Oh, so you got this crazy, sadistic, sexual look in your eyes. Meat grazing. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, wow. That feels amazing. Damn, girl. Well, Sunday school didn't work for you. I mean, they didn't, yeah. Yeah, all that sex those biblical heroes were having. Man, they didn't teach us any of that. We had to go find it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one more email. It looks here. I'm not sure what the question is, but
let's see. I've been listening to your podcast, and you guys are amazing with all the information you provide to newbies. Thank you. My wife and I are in the talking phases of the lifestyle, and as of now, he only wants to play.
I think it's supposed to be she only wants to play with
women. She only wants to play with women together. The only thing that is burning inside of me is the thought of her being with another man. She sounds a lot like June in the sense that she's not interested in men right now, which is great. But again, the burning question is, how do I work around this issue I have?
Okay, well, first of all, that's normal. A lot of guys, including me, don't get anything out of the thought. Oh, their lady being with another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys love it. Some guys, it's their turn on. It's not mine. I'm more against it, but if she really, really, really wanted it, I recognize her as an individual with desires, and I respect her enough to let her try what she wants. But I don't get anything out of the thought of that.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm kind of in the same boat you are, except I'm maybe a little more open. Just in the sense that, you know, I've had to work and kind of grow to the point where, hey, I'm my own person. If I desire something, I would want her to support me. And so it was kind of the vice versa, kind of the mutual thing. Mm-hmm. But that's totally normal. Like, you're not wrong for feeling that way.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you need to work around it. And at the same time, it looks like you just said that your wife is a lot like June in the sense that she's not interested in other men right now. So really, if that's true, this is not a problem for you, right?
No, doesn't sound like it.
It sounds like she's interested in exploring ladies, just like June. So right now, that's not a problem. Now, if she gets to the point where she does want to explore with other guys in any way, well, obviously, she probably knows this is an issue for you. And that's something that you two would have to work through
Yeah.
and understand and figure out. I don't know if there's any one-size-fits-all solution to that, or if it would ever even work. For some people, that might never work. But one thing I can tell you is there are a lot of people in lifestyle who have faced the same obstacles and challenges that we have and that you are.
Yeah.
What I would do, one of the things we always tell people is go try to find people who have been in the lifestyle a long time mm-hmm. who do like everything. They full swap, they do everything. And try and just talk to them. People love giving their advice and their opinions. And just ask them, hey, did you, you know, ask the guy, was there ever a point when like it bothered you at the thought of seeing her with another guy? And if that person was that way, they'll say, you know, oh yeah, I definitely remember that. And you can ask, well, how did you work past that? How did you like, mm-hmm. what got you through that? Or how did you, you know, and everyone's probably going to have a little bit of a different story.
Yeah. And I would also encourage this person to, you sound a lot like me in the way that I can get in my own head sometimes.
Are you talking to the wife or the husband here?
To the guy. I'm talking to the guy right now.
Okay, so you're saying like it sounds like he gets in his head.
He gets in. It sounds to me like he gets in his head like I do sometimes, where I overthink everything and I'm expecting the worst out of things, or things that that haven't even come about at all. Kind of like she's wanting to just play with the girls, but you're already in your mind thinking about, I don't want to see that with a guy, with her with a guy. So it sounds to me like that might be something you need maybe to work through too, because you're not alone with that. I still have to work on that myself, of just trying to not get in my own head with things. And so it sounds to me like that might be something that he just kind of has to work through mentally.
Yeah. And here's the thing too. We discovered this. There might be things you don't think you like. And I'm not saying you will like certain things if you try them. But there might be things you like if you try them. You might not think you would be into it or like it. But once you see it or experience it,
mm-hmm.
it's not uncommon for you to walk away going, all right, I was kind of against that. I don't know why the fuck I got hard when I saw it. I don't know why the fuck I was just turned on by that. And then you're trying to like figure yourself out. Because sometimes we're closed off to things,
yeah.
But after we try them or see them or experience it, sometimes it's very surprising. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that turned me on.
Well, and that's happened to me multiple times. Like,
yes.
One example is like, we call her Barbie, and it was the first night we met them, her and G.I. Joe, and she spanked me, and I was like, I looked at John, and I'm like, holy shit, that was hot.
She spanked you with a leather paddle. As you're grabbing the stripper bowl and bending over.
Yes.
And you let her do it for fun.
Yes.
And then afterwards you were like, holy shit, that really turned me on. And she was like 10 feet away on the other side of the pole. I'm like, well, go ask her to do it again.
Yeah. So I did. But she becomes more dominant when she's playing with a girl. So she was like, ask me and kiss the paddle. And I was like, okay.
Now we have paddles and other shit because like you like that.
But I like it. And I didn't know I did until I tried.
Yeah, and you were just goofing around. Oh, I let another girl, you know, paddle me. And then you're like, whoa, squirt town, like, hey, it's getting wet down there. And so, but that's that way with anybody. So I would encourage you to be open-minded,
mm-hmm.
But don't do anything that you're both not in agreement and comfortable with.
Absolutely.
You know, doing something for 5 or 10 minutes or however long to try it out, it's not worth ruining your fucking relationship or damaging it.
No.
I mean, if you're not both into it, now, here's where you got to draw a line.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come to some conclusion. If your wife is having all the fun and you're okay with that, but she is not okay with you having your kinds of fun, that will be a big fucking problem. Because that's one of the biggest problems me and June have faced.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that she was trying to be malicious or hypocritical. She just, I think, has had more issues to work through than me when it comes to sex.
Mentally, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but if your lady's getting to have a bunch of fun, but it becomes an issue when you try to have your fun, well, that's really not fair to anybody. And it might not be that she's malicious. Maybe she is, but maybe she isn't. And sometimes it's just working through those things and recognizing, because there were times when June didn't even realize like she was doing those certain things are being that way and didn't understand why until we talked it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it still creeps up and pops up
mm-hmm.
and we have to address it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we still argue. Like we had an argument last night.
Yeah.
And you know, but we're better this morning. Mm-hmm. We've had time to sleep on it.
And we talk it out. Like, I don't, for me, it's like, I don't want to talk to John when we're in the heat of the argument. So a lot of times I don't say a lot when we're in the heat of the argument, because I want to be able to sleep on it and think on it. And yeah. Or the lack of sleep, which is usually the case for me. But that's okay, because it gives me the time that I need to think about things.
Yeah, you get a better perspective when you get time to think on things and sleep on them. And mm-hmm. that's actually another good religious point. You know, there is this really common, I wouldn't quote it here, but it is kind of relevant to this yeah. exact discussion. Mm-hmm. There's a in the Christian religion, there's a Bible verse that says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Mm-hmm. And basically what that is commonly preached as is, if you have an argument with your spouse, don't go to bed angry. Well, here's the thing. It might be 9:30, 10:30, 11 at night, and there's no time to get closure with this. People need time to think and talk. They need to sleep on things, because we obviously have a more clear head the next day. Once we're not in the heat of the moment, we've been able to sleep on it. We all know that works. And so, like, that's another thing that, like, we've looked at with religion and said, hey, you know what? That's not bad advice, but it's not the whole story.
Yeah.
Because not doing that, you know, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't go to bed angry. That's not the best advice for a lot of people.
Not
because,
for me.
Because of how they're psychologically wired. That's not a one size fits all kind of thing.
No.
But nobody ever teaches you that.
No.
And so some people just go to bed with resentment, saying, okay, fine, we're good. And then they just hate each other.
Yeah.
And they're laying there and they hate each other. It's like nothing has closure. Mm-hmm. If anything, you're further from it because you're trying to pressure yourselves into squishing this down and being done with it, because you've been taught that you're not supposed to go to sleep if you're mad at your spouse.
Yeah.
But you know what? Yeah, we did sleep in separate beds last night.
Yeah.
And you know, now we're sitting here naked playing with each other, doing the podcast again. And we went for our morning walk and had coffee. Mm-hmm. And like, we're fine now. But yeah. Like, we did need time to sleep on that.
And that's me. Like, I'm the one that's like, I don't want to say anything until I've had time to sleep on it. So a lot of times he'll do a lot of the talking and I'm just like not saying anything. Not that I don't want to say anything. It's the fact that for me mentally, like, I have to think things through and then I can talk to you the next day.
Yeah. It has more to do with how you're mentally wired. You know, certain people, we're all wired a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Rather than what's right or wrong and the best thing everyone needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, these have been some of the questions that you all sent in, and we always love getting your questions and being able to answer them to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
We hope they were helpful and that mm-hmm. you felt respected and understood. We believe it's okay to be who you are.
Yeah.
And, yeah, make sure you click in the show notes and check out those Vodka Help shirts and the swag. It's pretty cool. And again, be sure, scroll down, leave us 5 stars. If you think this is a 5-star podcast, it takes 2 seconds to scroll down and click it. Leave a review and just telling the world what was helpful. Take 10 seconds and tell the world what was helpful. Yeah. If something here was helpful for you.
Definitely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the New Swingers Podcast. Do you have a question about the swinger lifestyle or an issue you're struggling with? Send us an email at newswingerspodcast@gmail.com. newswingerspodcast@gmail.com. And there's a good chance we may anonymously feature and discuss your question, so it can be helpful for you as well as other listeners. Just send us an email at newswingerspodcast@gmail.com.